education, and I was looking around even prior to this session to look into issues that could make a real impact on the performance of kids. I was a high school teacher, and a number of my students did not read well, and I kind of thought if a high school kid leaves high school and cannot read well, we're almost assigning that person or those people to be underachievers all their lives. So we did some research, and we found this reading recovery program in doing that research, and I was very impressed with it, and so we introduced this bill. You all have a letter. I'm not from Texas, excuse me, you all, but you all have a letter from Dave Guile, who is the principal at Scott Elementary in St. Anastasia School District, and I would like to direct your attention to the second paragraph. I don't know that I should read each of the words, but I was very interested in myself, and let me go back here, and maybe I will read these, but I won't read all of them. When we started reading recovery in 1992-1993, our lowest children had three possible routes to follow. They might struggle with reading and become essentially a slow learner who would never catch up. They might qualify under special education as learning disabled and get help. Or they might catch on to the reading strategies necessary to unlock the doors to fluent reading. My experience told me that most of these children fell into the first group and never did catch up. With reading recovery, the lowest 20% of the class becomes eligible for direct instruction, and the lowest of the low gets served first. These students receive individual instruction each day until they do catch up with the class average, and then they graduate from the program and are replaced with the next lowest child. There's a great deal of research that describes the long-term benefits in this program, but let me describe what has happened at Scott Elementary. First, the caseload for our learning disabilities teacher dropped, and she now is here only part-time. The district is saving approximately $8,000 annually because of this reduction. Second, our test scores in reading continue to climb. This year, unofficially, 87% of our third graders passed the state reading assessment. 87%, I think, is the best we've heard except from Higgs. Which we heard about way back in February or March. Third, the reading recovery teacher has provided training for the rest of the staff at no cost to the school or district. Finally, the students who started in the bottom 20% are now at the 40th percentile or higher in their class, and many have become honor students. And we've talked to a number of other people, and they have extolled the virtues of this program, and I'm pretty excited about it, and I'm very pleased that we have the experts here to testify. And so with that, I think I'm going to abandon this post and run back over there behind the table, and we'll turn the program over to our guests here this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Catherine Anderson?
Good morning. My name is Catherine Anderson. I'm with the Portland Public School District, and I am the district's Title I coordinator. I have given you a one-page sheet that outlines what I'm going to discuss quickly. I am not a reading recovery teacher. You're going to hear from some very marvelous reading recovery teachers, I think, later this morning. I'm here to provide more of a district perspective and testify about the outstanding work that Reading Recovery has done with our early intervention program in reading.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to think of Reading Recovery as an important safety net for the lowest achieving primary students. When you look at Reading Recovery and compare it with other remedial reading programs, there are some important elements of Reading Recovery that stand out and that are not always consistently present in some very well-publicized remedial programs. And so I'm going to just quickly outline those for you. The first is early intervention. As it's been said with Representative Backlund, they work with the lowest achieving first grade students. Direct instruction is provided daily in a 30-minute lesson on a one-to-one basis. You've got very individualized instruction, very precisely matched to the student's needs. Progress for students is accelerated with that 30-minute one-on-one format. You can very easily tie the assessment results that are achieved on a daily basis and match that to a lesson that's finely tailored to the student's needs. Assessment informs instruction, as I just said. Guided reading is the heart of the reading recovery lesson. Child spends most of their time during that lesson reading books at his or her instructional level and being introduced to new books. Specific reading strategies are taught and practiced and reinforced daily. Writing and spelling is also a daily component of the reading recovery lesson. Phonemic awareness, there's a lot of discussion about phonemic awareness and phonics and what an important strategy and skill that is for helping children. This is an important piece in every reading recovery lesson. It's congruent with the regular classroom instruction. Because a reading recovery teacher often teams with a regular classroom teacher, you've got a lot of ongoing dialogue about where children are. You've got some reading strategies and techniques that are just naturally then built into the regular classroom program. Reading comprehension, establishing meaning from the text that's read, is the point of the lesson, the meaning. The most well-publicized part of reading recovery, I think, is the rigorous teacher training. It's a year-long process. And if you've had a chance to see or hear about any behind-the-glass training pieces, you'd be very impressed. Parental involvement, daily reading materials are sent home, ongoing parental communication is an integral part of the high expectation. And then reinforcement and goal orientation to the lessons is there very clearly and concisely. In Portland, we would love to have every child who's eligible for reading recovery be able to participate, but unfortunately that's not the case. We have reading recovery programs in 13 of our 45 elementary schools, and none of them are able to be fully implemented. They're not able to serve all eligible children. So my support of House Bill 3604 is very strong, and it would fill a great need in Portland to help some of our lowest achieving first graders get up to speed very quickly and become proficient, able readers. Raylene Liu from our Research and Evaluation Department is here also with me, and she has some information about student achievement that is sustainable over time that we've been able to track, and she can share that with you.
Any questions? Representative Brock?
How do you manage the staffing in Portland, this 30 minutes of direct instruction a day? Is that done by an aide? Is it done by a certified teacher? How do you manage that?
It is done by a certified teacher. Reading recovery is not a program that is provided with educational assistance. They are all certified, highly trained teachers.
And do I understand correctly that it is 30 minutes from a teacher to one student? Is that correct?
One student. One-on-one instruction, right.
And so what is the cost per student that's running this program through?
It's slightly higher than some of the other remedial programs that we have going on in the district. I don't have a precise figure, but I would say it's not.
Somebody else will.
It's not greatly.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Sure. Thank you for testifying today. Can you tell us what's been happening with this program in Portland? Has it been receiving funding, or has it been cut back?
Currently, reading recovery is funded in part with general funds and in part with Title I money, which is my involvement with it. I would say that in terms of a percentage, it's probably at least 75% Title I funds, about 25% general funds.
Senator Fisher, I'm sorry.
What percentage of the Portland school fees in there?
What percentage? Just 13 schools, so it's slightly less than 25%. Of our elementary schools are able to use it because we don't have funding. In terms of schools that would qualify, all of them. All of them would qualify for it.
What determines then which schools get to use them in a public school setting?
Primarily, it is principal and teacher interest, principal, teacher, and parent decision making is part of the school improvement plan. All of our elementary, middle, and high schools have a school improvement planning process. You take a look at the total school program.
Well, if they wanted to do it, they could have it, huh?
If they want to do it, they can have it. They simply need to find the money to do it.
Yeah, okay.
And that's the challenge.
Okay. And some ask for it and get the money through the normal money-getting process. The school district funds it some places and other places. All you have to do is ask.
No, it means making some tough choices. If you're using your Title I money to fund this program, it means that you are funding Reading Recovery, but you may not have as much Lecture for Math support because your Reading Recovery program is taking at least 1.5 FTE to run Reading Recovery. So that's a choice that the school is making.
Has there ever been any special state funding for this program? Take it out and fund it individually?
Not to my knowledge, no.
How many children are being served by this program in total?
Currently, eight to ten per building on a given year. If you have one teacher that is trained, that is slightly more. We have often two teachers per building.
In those that are being served of the 13 schools, are you reaching all the kids you've identified?
No. You're serving the lowest first grade students in the building. Other programs, Title I, ESL, special ed, are working with other students, but they are working primarily with the lowest.
But I guess let me refine that question. The lowest, are you getting to all of the lowest?
Not with Reading Recovery, no. We don't have the funding for it.
Senator Fisher?
What percentage of success are you having?
We're having a great deal of success with it. And Reverend Lowe can talk about that in a little bit more detail. She is with our research and evaluation department and has tracked Reading Recovery students over a number of years to follow up their success with the state reading standards. And she can show you very definitely that the growth and the achievement has been sustainable significantly over time. We're currently looking at students that are now in seventh grade and comparing them to their achievement with Reading Recovery when they were first graders.
Madam Chair.
Senator
Fisher.
Don't you have some kind of statistics or percentage? If you're working with 8 to 10 students a day, I mean, are 5 of these sitting where they can read properly? Or?
In terms of being discontinued, yes. The majority of them are discontinued from the program. That means that they end the program successfully, definitely. A number of students, a small percentage of students need slightly longer reading recovery exposure, and others are not able to complete the program, but needs have been highlighted through reading recovery experience to indicate maybe an additional need for special ed service.
Senator, I think there'll be another witness up that can maybe address the statistics that we'll be having tonight. Any other questions? Thank you very much. Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. State Representative Elaine Hobson from District 2, and hopefully I'm wearing my other hat as superintendent of Tillamook School District. And I noticed on the sign-up sheet I'm the only one to testify against this, and it really upsets me to have to do that. I am not going to say anything against the merits of Reading Recovery. It is a wonderful program. I am very familiar with it. When I was in Juneau, Alaska, we implemented it. We sent a person out on sabbatical leave to become trained. She is currently at Ohio State, which is the heartland for reading recovery, if you will. So my issue is not with the program. Again, it's a wonderful program, although I would suggest that whatever happens, the term and the words reading recovery definitely need to be capitalized. This is not an program. I noticed and in the bill, it refers to that with the adjective. This is a specific trademark, if you will, program. What I'm going to talk about is the fact that any district in the state can and certainly has the permission to go ahead and to implement and institute reading recovery. And I know a number of districts are, in fact, using it, as I'm sure was indicated by Portland. I know Lincoln County is using it. Salem is using it. More and more districts. I would offer to you that probably most of the districts in the state would use it, except for one factor, and that is the cost. I believe that if this bill were implemented, the playing field would not be even or level. You have to have a specifically trained teacher, trained by a reading recovery trainer, in order to implement this program or to use it. It's that specific, and the criteria is that high. Speaking only from my own experience, we do not have a reading recovery teacher, so there is no way that we would be able to apply for these funds. If we were to secure a reading recovery teacher, we could, in fact, do that, although there aren't that many around. We currently do have some trainers in the state of Oregon, which is certainly a step in the right direction. My other issue with it, again, it's mandating a specific program. I, as an educator, may make the decision in concert with my teachers, my staff, that we feel using the money to hire a reading volunteer coordinator for one-on-one reading instruction or using teaching assistants, as I heard mentioned before, might be a better way to go in our community. It seems to me if we have state funds in a pool of money at the department, the playing field for applying for these should be equal, and I don't feel that this offers that opportunity. And again, I say it bothers me because I think it's a wonderful program, the one-on-one. I have research that indicates that in many cases it's successful. In fact, I would even say much more than that because I think it's a wonderful program. But I think there are other ways to do reading that can be just as successful for a specific district, and that needs to be their choice. And that's really all I have to say. So if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Any questions?
I have a question to the sponsor of the bill, and I missed his testimony to Representative Backlund. The way the bill is written, it is lowercase, which my friend said I think is more generic, obviously. Is your intent to have this bill written to address the specific program?
Thank you, Representative. Our intent when we wrote this bill was to make the program available and so that school districts who chose to implement this program could. We did not intend to mandate. We did not want to mandate at all. So we wanted to make an option, and we found out the success of the program. We thought this would be a nice step in terms of giving our kids an opportunity to improve their reading.
I think you follow. I mean, to me, I think I really understand President Hobson's concern about potentially mandating a certain program. On the other hand, this seems to be a very successful program, and even you agree to that. So if this bill were to move, I suppose we could keep it lowercase, which then we could, which does keep it open. I mean, if the bill wasn't changed, it's up lowercase, we then could at least have the opportunity for those districts that have the ability to use money for this program could, and those that want to use it, and other reading programs, recovery programs could. It seems to me that would be reasonable, but...
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Edwards. I may be wrong in this, but I think you'll hear from the testimony that the people who are supporting this are from Capital Reading Recovery, not the other. And if you were to change it to be more open, if I am understanding that right, what you'd be doing would be allocating grant money for which schools could apply in order to teach reading at the primary or supplemental reading programs. I guess that would be all right, but I...
Well, it seems to me it's the issue is trying to improve children's reading. This is a successful program, and there may be others, as you're describing, where you can have other ways to help. If we're saying, as a legislature, willing to earmark some money to improve reading, and this is one program, it seems to me that's reasonable. That may not be quite the intent of the bill, but personally, I think that would, whatever we need to help the reading, I think is clearly an important task, and if we can earmark some money, I think it'd be important.
I wonder if the department will be here to testify, because I would like to know from them what would be the best way to improve reading and whether or not this approach makes sense or some other approach makes sense for people who
Representative Backlund?
Thank you, Chair.
I'm looking at the bill of representatives and I'm looking at line 9. The Department of Education may award grants to school districts, and line 10, the grants may be used. Certainly our intent was to make it available to school districts, and those then who chose to implement it would, I presume, then send their teachers back to Ohio State for training, and then the program would be instituted that way. So I didn't intend to muscle or mandate in any way. I just wanted it to be an opportunity, one more opportunity to maybe get the job done better.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Jackson. I understand that, and I understand that the program itself is not mandated. My concern is that I would guess out of the 200 school districts in the state, only 10, maybe a few more, would even be eligible or prepared to apply for this money without sending someone back to Ohio State, or actually we do have trainers within the state now, but without having a teacher trained in that. So by far the majority would not be eligible to even apply for the money because they wouldn't have the staff to implement it within the district. And I'm not sure the number, a number of districts that are currently using it or who do have teachers, but I know that by far the majority do not. So my point is that by far the majority of the school districts in the state couldn't even apply because they don't have reading recovery teachers on staff. And in answer to the other part, if it's going to go forward, then reading recovery should not be the term used, because to people in the field, reading recovery is with a capital R, and it is the specific Ohio State to the whole piece with that. It's very specific.
A response to my good friend, the representative, the superintendent of school reform from Tillamook. I would like to remind the representative that the journey of 1,000 miles does begin with a single step. So I think we have to start somewhere, and I think this is a good start in terms of the final goal, which we would all agree on, is to have kids read well, and certainly if we can start this in the first grade, we would be contributing tremendously to young people and their possible success. So I understand what you're saying, but I do want to offer that old Confucius adage too. So.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and my good friend, Representative Backlund. I agree, and I think everyone should take that step down that road, but we should all be allowed to choose a road, and many of us wouldn't even be eligible to apply for this or to use our own road.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, to the representative from the North Coast, whom I highly regard but disagree with often. I wanted to ask, so apparently then the importance in your mind is equality for all rather than allowing some the opportunity to excel?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative, I think that every district in the state is already doing something and doing some activities related to the teaching of reading, and many are using reading recovery, and I think that's great, but I think it should be up to the individual district as to how they allocate their funds, and it sounds somewhat petty, I'm sure, to say if I am not eligible to apply for some of that money, should I stop others from applying for that money, and I'm sorry that it sounds like that, but I think I probably speak for the majority of the school districts. We're automatically eliminated from eligibility because we choose not to use a specific program. We have other programs that we use that, in all honesty, and there's a lot of research to support this, that can be just as effective. So why should the money be going to districts who happen to choose a particular program? And I would be that way if we were dealing with a pharmacy bill that mandated that you had to use Bayer aspirin as opposed to some other kind of aspirin. My point is not against improved reading. My point is against us having funds available for one specific way of doing it.
If I could follow up, then this particular program, Reading Recovery, is just one of many and doesn't particularly have more merit than any other, in your opinion.
2 points to that. I think there are other ways of teaching reading that are just as efficient. I don't know of, I hate to use the word can because it sounds negative, but prescribed programs with capital letters that are necessarily more effective. It's the one, it is good, and I'm sure not here to argue the merits of it. But I believe there are schools around the country that are teaching reading just as well without using reading recovery as those that are. It's a question of money. It really is a question of money. I think more would use it. Although there are some things about it that are very constrained and restricted and programmatic. I mean, this is not a program, in my estimation, and I am somewhat familiar with it. It's very prescribed. The teachers do specific package things. It's definitely a package. There's no taking away from that.
On the other hand, if we were to fund this specifically for the reading recovery program, it might be an incentive for those districts that have, for some reason, not gone down this path to begin to go down that path, particularly if the program is successful. And you can look at it in different ways. But
Representative Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm sorry I'm late. I had another committee before this committee. But I'm reading from my district that says that this particular program has also contributed to savings, as well as increasing the test scores. And so if you have an incentive to save on the one hand, to improve test scores on the other hand, would that not be an appealable item for other school districts?
Madam Chair, Representative Winters, I don't know the context in which that saving is determined. I would say in any school district, if you improve student reading, you have a saving, and that certainly is one way to do it. There's a great deal of research that indicates that reading recovery is excellent on individual students, but it does not necessarily raise the reading level of a whole school, that it is very uniquely and individually focused towards those 8 children per year that are served by that teacher. And that's good. I'm not arguing with that. But in another way of thinking of it, those 8 children are receiving a great benefit, which is wonderful. They're learning to read. But at what cost is that from the other however many first graders that you have there? Because obviously if that money is being allocated to those 8, the other 42, for lack of a better number, are not receiving those resources to help their reading. And I can't answer that. But that is a choice. Do you want to focus on those 8, or do you want to broad and improve the whole reading level of the whole building or the whole school? And those are choices. There isn't a right or a wrong to that, and I'm not proposing to give that. But those are the choices that need to be made, in my estimation, within the individual school district. And just because the school district, be it Salem and Portland and Lincoln County, those are the 3 that I do know about, choose to use one specific way of doing that, so they receive special funding for doing that. And this is a tough one for me.
It seems to me also that reading problems just crop up in other grades, you know, and maybe people that even got started somehow the reading has declined, or you have a very mobile population of young kids, and they come in third grade, fourth grade, they can't read very well, they need help. This is just a first grade program, right?
Yes. Well, it's some of the experts would probably answer that, but 5 and 6 year olds is the focus.
5 and 6 year olds is the focus. So I was just wondering, if you're going to spend money for a remedial program, maybe it should be a little broader than this one. I don't know.
Representative Winters.
Thank you. I just have another question of Representative Hopson. Doesn't the data suggest that where you have the students who are good readers, you know, and we start them earlier, that the problems are lessened as they go along the educational continuum, that they make better students? And so our investment in reading is probably should be more the front end?
Madam Chair, Representative Winters, I would agree with you wholeheartedly. Yes, the investment in reading at the early grades is of critical importance. I certainly agree with you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. Ms. Liu.
My name is Wei Liu, and first of all, I'm not a union recovery teacher, capital letter or lower letter. I'm a independent evaluator. I'm an employee of Portland Public Schools, but what I do basically is evaluation of good programs in Portland Public Schools, and I have been doing that for the last 10 years of my life. Reading Recovery was one of the programs that I evaluated. Since my focus was Title I, which is the at-risk student population, I do focus on lots of the programs that help at-risk students only, like programs such as Success for All, if you haven't heard of that, which is also a very good reading program. I do evaluation on that too, and Reading Recovery is one of my evaluation projects. And in Portland, we have started Reading Recovery in 89. So I think it's one of the earliest school districts that started that. And with the data that I have followed, I have had the students who were in Reading Recovery in 89, and eventually now they're 7th and 8th graders. So what I'm interested in is to see how well Reading Recovery treated the students as first graders and how well that effect had been sustained over the years. So I want you to know that I'm not speaking really as a reading recovery person at all. And I have also read lots of literature on reading recovery for it or against it. So if any of you are interested, I'm willing to copy the file that I have that you can see reading by yourself. Actually, I have a very brief message here if you want to follow. First of all, Reading Recovery has been recommended by many, many leading education researchers in this country. Of course, it came from New Zealand. Many school districts have used Reading Recovery, and many research have been done on this subject just to see how well it is and if it is recommended. Another thing at the national level is that the Department of Education has just proposed or released the new proposal for the Title I ESEA legislation, Educational Excellence Act. I don't know if any of you have heard of that. It's really brand new. In this act, there is a part that's called Reading Excellence Act. This act proposes that every student in this country reads at the end of the third grade. In other words, the proposal is trying to say that every student must learn to read by the end of the third grade, not learning to read after the third grade. In other words, after the third grade, they should read to learn. That's a big difference. So there's a big emphasis on the early intervention of students reading in this country. Since we have to invest in reading or in intervention, early intervention of students reading, since we have to spend the money, the best choice is to find a program that works because you're going to spend the money anyway. That's sort of like, you know, the direction that this country is going. Secondly, I want to share something with you about my findings of the Reading Recovery Program in Portland. In our district, I studied four years of group of students who were treated by Reading Recovery as first graders, and I got about 800 students. So you can double that for another 4 years, probably the number of students served. All of these students started as the lowest of the low as readers. And now 45% of them exceeded or even met the state's high standards as third, fourth, and fifth graders. That is very, very impressive. As I said, I evaluate other programs too, like Success for All, which is also a quite expensive program. I haven't seen that yet. Success for All, for instance, might produce a good result as reading recovery, but I haven't seen that. So we probably have to wait for a few years to get that done.
Chairman, last session we funded a program called Structures of Intellect. Does that program get at helping students read at all?
You know, I haven't really heard much about that program. There are lots of reading programs out there, I agree, that some of them have results and some of them
this
don't.
This is necessarily a reading program. It's something
I haven't heard anything.
I just wondered if it helps in the reading. Have you evaluated that program?
No, I haven't heard of that at all. Okay. This results, the 40% of the reading recovery students that actually exceeded or met the state standards did not really include a full implementation. As Catherine Anderson mentioned, only 13 out of 45 of the elementary schools in Portland now were able to do reading recovery. So with full implementation, I'm sure the results would be better.
And what do you mean by the results would be better, that more students would be covered, or that the students who you had this 800 students, you followed them for several years, now 45% of them exceeded or meet the state standards? What do you mean by better results with full implementation?
In New Zealand, where the program was started, the full implementation meant that the students, as soon as they were enrolled in the school in New Zealand, they enroll a youngster when the youngster turned a certain age on his birthday. So in New Zealand, there was reading recovery only. They do not have what we call special ed. They have reading recovery, and that is the intervention that New Zealand uses. And the students who were graduated from reading recovery would have a follow-up to the second grade. That's what I call full implementation in one sense. Another sense, I'm sure other teachers could probably add to this, is that every student who were supposed to be the lowest 20% of the first grade class should be served. And so far, we in Portland haven't been able to do that because we don't have enough funding.
So just to clarify that, mm-hmm. You were saying these 800 were the very lowest,
uh-huh.
And if with fuller implementation you would cover 20%, and would you, the lowest 20%, did I understand you correctly?
If we had the full implementation, we would cover 20% of all of the low students, which would be way much, the number would be higher than 800 that I studied.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Finally, I'd like to address something about the reading recoveries. This is an accidental discovery. You know, I love those kind of discoveries, like many of the things that we discover by accident. We found out that reading recovery really treated students with disabilities very well, specifically students with language and speech and language impairment and learning disabilities. This is really significant because in the long run, you cut the cost of special education, you know, tremendously. This one, I have to say that I haven't really gone far enough to say, you know, what conclusion I would make that the implementation is there and it's really significant.
Eric Trump?
How does it work with students that come from a foreign background and have not much access to English at all?
That's a good question. We had some students who were ESL, with ESL background. I think it works perfect. In New Zealand, they have a multicultural country, you know, more than actually USA, and they have lots of students from the Pacific Islands that don't speak English.
really works very well. But in our district, reading recovery hasn't really targeted ESL students because we have an ESL program that really targets that particular student population.
Can I ask you to address Representative Hobson talked about not qualifying. Some districts were not eligible for the grants and others were. What are the parameters for that? Can you address that issue?
The training of the reading recovery teachers are just the wonderful things that could happen to any school district. And to me, the training here, the training, a trained reading recovery teacher versus an aide is almost like having a doctor or a nurse. I mean, if I were to be treated, I want to have a doctor. I don't want a nurse. A nurse has a nurse's function. I absolutely love nurses. But when you want something done to make sure that you're healthy, you want a doctor. The training of reading recovery teachers is not really up to a doctor's training, but the training of the reading recovery teacher is a whole year training, and they need every week to learn the theory of learning. They learn about how people learn how to read, and they have all of these strategies that they learn for the, you know, for the whole year. So if you call that a cost, I think that's the cost of any staff development, except you might get the training for 2 days and you learn a little bit of the trick and then you go back and you really don't know how to do it, or you have the training of the whole year with a teacher leader helping you out. The cost of reading recovery in our district basically is a teacher leader who is trained by somebody at a university. By the way, you don't have to go to Ohio. You can go to PSU to be trained to be a teacher leader. And that's where our teacher leaders were trained. So it's everywhere, like California, PSU, Oregon, we have trainers and for teacher leaders. The cost will be the teacher leader. She has to probably get a equivalent of a master's degree to be a teacher leader. And then the rest of the teachers will just have to have the training. So that's probably the extra there. People do talk about the cost of reading recovery in terms of how few students reading recovery serve. Like a teacher, a reading recovery teacher would serve 4 kids in the first round in the year, in the school year, and then they will pick, she will pick another 4 kids in the second round, although she can take a third round of students in the, you know, in the later year. Here, when the third round is picked, sometimes you don't have enough time to finish up, to complete the program. In New Zealand, they would follow up to the second grade. That's kind of like the difference here. So when you talk about that, when you talk about teacher and student ratio, that does sound huge, but that's not the whole picture. For instance, in Portland, we are able to do the reading recovery students who are really the lowest of the low. And then we have other reading recovery teachers, or at other times, the reading recovery teacher would pick up a group of students who are also low, but who can benefit from this reading recovery teacher. So that's one thing that you should bear in mind. And also with the help of reading recovery, in the long run, you really deduct your special education cost. So that's kind of like,
can I answer your question? Well, just to kind of get back, what qualifies a district for a grant versus another? She kept alluding to the fact that some districts would qualify for these dollars, but others would not. What are the parameters
for that?
Yeah.
Personally, I don't understand that statement, because any district would have money for staff development. As I said, what kind of staff development do you want to have? If you wanted to send your teachers to get trained as reading recovery teachers, that's one type of staff development. But once you have that, you should be eligible to apply for this grant.
Would you like to come up and she can answer the question as
well.
Yeah. So we'll have.
Actually, I'm done, and we need to move to another hearing.
Yeah, Senator Fisher.
I apologize for these meetings for momentarily, but I'm a little concerned. When you're disagreeing with me, Okay. Now, let me give you a background. When I was in the military, we were taught our first aid and stuff. We were taught triage on the spot. And if you had someone with a obvious major wound in the heart area, and you had a guy over here with a bullet hole in the leg and he was bleeding like crazy, you took care of all of the ones that you had a chance to get back on their feet as quick as you could and do the best with, and then you worked with the other. Now, thank goodness I never had to make that kind of a decision. That isn't an easy decision to make, and it isn't an easy decision to make with kids when they're in their learning process either, because you're toying with their future. But to go and spend literally hours of time on the worst ones first, instead of concentrating on the bulk of people that could benefit and go way beyond that, I have to question the use of the time in that kind of a manner. And I would kind of like to see some kind of what your experience is along these lines, what could be done with the maybe marginal readers to boost them up well, rather than just working with the low one. And I have some experience having taught a fourth grade class for a time, having done some project literacy work and things like that with someone. And incidentally, I was very proud because the little fifth grader that I started project literacy with, who was into the principal's office every week and was absolutely doing nothing. Now, I can't take all the credit myself. His principal called me and said he was voting for me on the strength of what I'd done with this kid in 3 months because he hadn't been in his office once. I attended his graduation the weekend before last from high school. And he wasn't headed in that direction. And he was very proud that I could see him. I was very proud of him. So I would like to kind of see what the experience, if you have any, would be to spend that kind of time in maybe that medium range group or the little below medium range group, where you wouldn't have to spend like half an hour to shot with one person, but maybe you could be working that half an hour with three or four people.
We do have other programs such as Title I Special Ed and ESL to sort of catch up. As Catherine mentioned, this is really the safety net for the lowest of the low. So it's really a different situation, I think, from the military in the war that you
have to
make the choice, you know, as tough as that. We do have other programs that would also catch other low readers. But the thing is, when other programs fail in catching the lowest of the low, this is the answer.
For the record, just get your name when you come to the record. Okay, thank you very
much. My name is Sandy Clancy, and I'm with the Salem Kaiser Schools. I'm the reading recovery teacher leader, and my job is to train teachers in the reading recovery program. And I would like to begin by addressing Senator Fisher's comment to say that, well, first of all, my background is that I do have a master's degree in reading. Although I have never known what I know about how children learn to read as well as I do since I received reading recovery training. And the premise that the program is built upon and the reason why we do only work with first grade children is because through research we know that there's a window of time, a window of opportunity when a child who is at the bottom of their class can have an opportunity to catch up to the average. So what you have is a situation where children entering first grade, some of them are going to be your highest readers. Some of them are going to be average. Those children are going to move along at a high pace, at an average pace. And the low children, without getting an early intervention, are going to continue to move so much more slowly that as you can see these average children moving along average, you can see that gap widening between the lowest children and their capability of catching up to average. So what this program is intended to do is to intervene early on with highly trained teachers who know all of the theory about reading and how children learn to read, and they will close that window and make those children into average readers before it's too late. And the research also does show that if children are not reading at an average rate by third grade, the chances of their catching up to their peers is very low. So that's why the program was devised. And there's been so many things that have been said this morning by people before me, and I've just got a lot of notes written all around. I'm going to address a few of those. I would like for to show you what you have in front of you that I brought, which comes out of one of the Reading Recovery publications. And I'm not going to go through this whole thing, but this will give you some information more than what you have on the program itself. And I will come back to this in a minute. I also do want you to know, in case I don't get to this, that I have a letter that says, Dear Mrs., and I kind of blocked out all of the names, but this is a letter that I really wanted to share. I would have liked this parent to have come today, but she was unable to. I hope that I get to this and explain the situation of this particular child and what Reading Recovery has done for that child, but this is a letter that this parent sent after her child became a reader. First, I'd like to start out by saying that the program was devised in New Zealand, and in New Zealand they have a 1% illiteracy rate, and it is a national program in New Zealand for the lowest readers. The research for the program and the beginnings of the program started back in like 1962 or 3 with Dr. Marie Clay working on a dissertation, and her research started with the thought that why are children coming into first grade reading and other children are coming into first grade not reading. So the studies began by studying good readers. The program was devised by taking what they learned from observing good readers and saying, let's teach these low readers to do what the good readers are doing. So that's how the program began, and continuously research is going on. Changes are made in the program constantly. It isn't just a program that was devised in 1963 and has been the same ever since. We can never learn enough about reading and how children learn to read. To answer some of the questions about the hierarchy of the Reading Recovery program, and the question that you did have, Madam Chairman, about whether or not this would eliminate districts from being able to apply for the money. There is a trainer at the top of the hierarchy. This trainer trains Reading Recovery teacher leaders like myself. We go through an extensive year of training. We do not currently have a teacher leader trainer in the state of Oregon. Colin Dunkel was the teacher leader trainer at Portland State University until about 5 years ago when he retired. We have not been able to get another trainer in this state. So one of the problems is, yes, we do not have a means of training teacher leaders like myself who train teachers. But that money could be used to send someone out of state. If a district became committed to the Reading Recovery program, you would have to start there. They would need to have a teacher leader trained. If they are not close enough to either Western Oregon University, where Carol Christensen is a teacher leader, or myself in Salem, and there are other teacher leaders that were trained at Portland State who are in not working as teacher leaders at the current time, and that has happened really because there hasn't been the money to keep training people.
I can just interrupt you for a minute.
I was just wondering, all of our universities and colleges train teachers, and I would think that if this were a technique that really would be very desirable that teachers have, that they would offer such training. Why not?
We wish they would. I think that that's because universities usually do not like to back a particular program. But the theory that the program is based on is the important piece of the program.
Do they teach, you know, just how to do it that way, even though they don't have the program, but all the techniques in the program they teach or not?
I don't believe that our teachers are coming out of our schools with a real strong background in the theory of how children learn to read. I think they learn some methods, some methodology, but not necessarily do they have a real strong knowledge of how children and how people really learn to read, so that if they have that theory, then the decision-making on a day-to-day basis would be much stronger for individual children.
Does academic research justify this program?
Absolutely.
It
does? Yes.
So there's plenty of...
Yes, and it has been in the United States for since 1983, and growing all of the time. There is also the continuing professional development piece, which is a must, and which is a teacher that is trained by myself, continues to come to see me and have classes with me about once a month or approximately six times during the school year. We also bring children, we observe children, we do lessons, and we observe lessons, and we talk about this child and what is this child thinking that reading is, what is this child's need, what are the decisions we can make for this child tomorrow so that this child will be raised a little bit higher every single day. Because the intent of this program is to take the very bottom children, and those children that are falling behind your average, they keep moving as average kids. What you have to do is accelerate their progress. You can't just move them up a year because they're still a year behind. And in a year, if you move them up another year, they're still a year behind. You have to accelerate their progress so they catch up to those average children. And that's a really difficult job when you have some children that come to you, for example, like one of my children that I work with this year, who knows X and Z when they come out of kindergarten. That child doesn't have a lot to go on to start to learn to read. And we try to get these kids what we call discontinued from the program. That means they have become average readers. They're working with the average. Some of them are working with the high kids in their classroom, in their reading groups, when we make the decision to discontinue them from the program. And we try to do that within 20 weeks. Some children are discontinued in less than 20 weeks. Some children take a little bit longer. And we make decisions according to where we feel this child will be. If this child discontinues, are they going to be able to stay and have a system in place that allows them to continue to learn and have growth in reading? So if this system is in place when we release these kids, I do have a teacher who's going to address this issue on what has happened to the children at Scott Elementary after they have left the reading recovery program. Have they continued to experience growth in their skills in reading?
If you could address the grant issue, what qualifies one school district and another? Is it just
there is
the investment they're willing to make?
I think that what was being said before was that it would be difficult to have teachers trained if you don't have a teacher leader in your district or in a close by district, because these teachers are going to need to come. This is a graduate level course. They earn about 11 graduate credits from Portland State University or whatever is your university that is representing you. And they need to be in class once a week for the whole year.
Representative Edwards.
Yeah, maybe this question was asked earlier, but in your experience, what's some of the major contributing factors for these children not reading? I mean, why are they... Is it a learning disability? Is there some disability as well?
No. We like to think that when the children come to us, we don't look at them as being learning disabled. We look at them as being reading disabled. And as far as we can go back, we could say that it could be that they haven't had a lot of experience with books. It could be there isn't a lot of print in the house. It could be they don't see people reading. We can't get back to before preschool with these kids, but there are children who come from, as a matter of fact, one of the teacher leader trainers from Ohio State University shared with us about her grandson recently, who was a reading recovery student, and this is a child who comes from a home where the parents are teachers, they're educated, they know about reading and how to work with children. Some children just don't catch on to what they're supposed to do. When we get kids, let's say in March, and we've discontinued a child and we pick up a new child to come in, those kids by then have been in first grade all of that time. They come in with lots of letter knowledge, lots of word knowledge, But they don't know how to put it together for this thing we call reading. They've got a lot of items in their bag. And this is what a lot of programs do try to do, is to give kids a lot of items, teach them words, teach them letters, but they don't understand what they're supposed to do with all of that when they need to put it together for reading.
But if a child was dyslexic, would they necessarily fall under a program like this?
Since we take the kids at the very beginning of first grade, our premise is to work with this child for a certain number of weeks. We're observing and working one-on-one every day, and if this child we feel has problems that go beyond the help that we can give them, something like dyslexia, then we have done everything we can, and intervention is the way we feel. We've tried to save this child from being labeled learning disabled or some other label, and then we would recommend them for further testing. Okay. So may I go on? Okay. The professional development piece is very important. It keeps the teachers on track. It's not like going to a workshop and coming back gung-ho and doing some really great stuff, and then you go fall back into your old routines. We keep everything fresh and renewed. And the third issue that I wanted to talk about was the one-on-one service. Being trained in reading myself and having experience this year working with reading recovery teachers who are also doing small group work, pull-out work, and having them come to me and say, I know which of these children needs to be in reading recovery now. When you're only working with a group of five that are the neediest children, you will always still have children that will not be able to learn to read at the average level in a group of five even. That's why one-on-one is so important, and it does look expensive. But the way I look at it is that we go to the dentist for early, for preventative work, and this is preventative. This is early intervention, so that the expenses then come, that it seems to be expensive, but the expenses that are saved are that we have children that are now in average reading groups. They're not being serviced by Title I. They're not being serviced by special ed, learning disabilities, groups, and in the long run, this will save districts money, but it is going to take time to start now to see these first graders becoming third graders who can read. So we have to give it some time and not pull out so quickly, as happens a lot of times when we buy into a particular program and then we chuck it after a year or two because we think it isn't working. But if you're going to start working on having good teeth, you have to start having your teeth cleaned every 6 months, you know. And this is the same premise that we work on. What else do you want to say? We could pass out. If you would take this pink sheet and thank you, Carol, for this. At the bottom is a chart that shows expense of Chapter 1, special ed, the expense of retaining a child. I've been hearing from some different places within our district how many children are going to end up being retained this year, and not only is that expensive, but that is devastating to a child. And they really don't recuperate from being retained, even as adults. I have people who, I tell them I'm a reading specialist, they say, gee, I wasn't a good reader, and I was retained in first grade, or I was retained in third grade. It's not something that you forget. So you have some figures in front of you, and then the last column you have a cost per student. You might want to look that over. The other issue I'd like to address is why do we need this extensive training? Why can't the aides do this job? You cannot take your most needy student and put it with your least trained teacher. Oftentimes, the assistants in the classrooms end up working with the low groups of students, when the ones that need the most highly trained and highly skilled teacher are getting the least trained person. And that doesn't mean that those are not valuable people in our school systems. They are. But I think that when it comes to taking the lowest child in first grade with a lot of confusion, you need to be highly trained to know how to unravel all those confusions for those children. This is not a package. That was mentioned. This is a program that has become trademarked only because what was happening was that a lot of districts were getting partial knowledge and saying we're doing reading recovery, and then the program fails because they haven't gone through the guidelines and the procedures and the intensive training. And so Marie Clay has trademarked her program so that if you're not hooked up with Ohio State University, if you're not doing reading recovery according to the guidelines set by the program, then you cannot call it reading recovery. That's why it's capitalized. That's why it's got a little trademark by its name.
Any questions?
Okay. Well, just one more thing. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree with you what you're saying about someone getting up to the third or fourth grade and trying to catch up, because that was the problem that I saw that stood out. I had about probably three children that had been called back 1 year, but they were still in the fourth grade. But they had not gotten a start from day one. And I think there were some other problems, and I hope that our kindergarten aren't falling into that same thing, because I came away from Michigan teaching. Absolutely hating the word kindergarten, because it was a playground in school. The kids came and they learned to play at school, and they came in the first grade and they didn't know anything to play, and they played in the first grade and played in the second grade and played in the fourth grade, and then they caught some great big guy like me that didn't allow them to play in fourth grade. And that was tough. And I was a beginning teacher, and I didn't have the skills, and I'll be the first to admit it, and I was frustrated by not having the skills to be able to sit down and take a half an hour or the time, you know, in a class. We had 30 in the classroom back in those times, and I got, every 2 weeks, I had a person come in and teach art for 1 hour. That was the sum total of my help. And this was not in an area, it was in an area that in that Portland looked like a, what should I say, a high-class neighborhood in the worst part of Portland. And so I got a little idea of what it was like. I know the frustration of being a teacher, not being able to do what you want. Mm-hmm. But I also know that there's a place that starts with discipline and starts, that kindergarten is going to be in the process, that starts in kindergarten. And it goes right on through the first, second, third grade.
Right.
And I understand the fact of what you got to do, because literally you about have to take somebody out of the fourth grade and put them back in the first grade and start them all over. Now, they're old enough by that time, generally speaking, that they wouldn't have to go for three more years to catch back up to the fourth grade if you do it in a faster time. I'm convinced of that. But
by then, you also have to deal with the attitude.
Mm-hmm.
It is a problem.
I move along. I'd like to
sure.
give everybody an opportunity.
Thank you.
Well, you can. I don't want to run you off. Okay. Thank you. Angela DeCloy Bassel, was it Dash? And Vivian Bartoni, I apologize. Come on up. I'll have you both come up. Come on up.
My name is Angelique DeCloy Basil, and I'm the mother of twins. My child was enrolled in preschool at the age of 3. She went in a 5-day-week program, and she entered the first grade. I was told within 2 weeks that she needed to be in a reading recovery program, and I was shocked. I read my child every day, every evening. She'd read with me, and yet they could show me consistently where she had a problem in understanding and reading at first grade level. The reason why I'm here today is because I was fortunate enough to work this year with kindergartners 4 days a week in 2 different classrooms. There were 30 children in every classroom. In the first grade, if you could reach those 30 children per class, and knowing that in the first grade, these children will go on to be a 30-child class, that the children that are the least likely to comprehend at a first grade level as they enter school will also be not comprehending at the end of that school year. Reading Recovery, when my daughter entered it, she spent 6 aggressive weeks in that program. She, every week, we got an assessment on how her progress was doing. Every week, we worked on the things in which she showed us that we were making mistakes in our own way in trying to overcome her disability. That's why I think the program is so successful. I had had an in-law nicely point out Hooked on Phonics to me, point out other programs that a layperson could possibly have a college education. My child is an entitled one. I'm a stay-at-home mom with a part-time job that focuses on my children. And the emphasis is that I am not a reading recovery professional, and that those people that go through that program could show me exactly what my child needed. And as a result, she's gone on, she's helped other children in the classroom, she now reads at the 7th grade level in the 4th grade, going into the 5th. And I think that when something is as successful as this program is, there isn't any aspect in our daily life in which we don't need to read, no matter what kind of a job, if we work at Wendy's or we're the President of the United States. And it's easy to bluff. I've seen kindergartners bluff when they don't know. My daughter bluffed with me, and a professional could show me exactly what I needed to do to target it. And that's all I have to say.
Okay. My name is Vivian Bartoni, and I'm a mother of 4 children, the oldest being 24, 16, 14, and 12. The 3 boys, the older children, always had trouble reading. My daughter, being the youngest, we got her involved in school. At the early age, at 4th grade level, they had a pre-kindergarten class at the school, and she was involved with that with her dad, enjoyed it immensely, but always had trouble reading. I tried very hard because I was a volunteer at school with kids that were involved in reading programs, and I would go in and work with small groups of kids and try and get them to be better readers. I could not get my daughter to read. She couldn't read the words. She knew how to sound them out. She knew the letters, sort of, not all the letters. She just couldn't put them together, make a word out of it. I was approached when she was in the first grade, how I would feel about putting her in this new program, because it was fairly new at the time. She's now in 6th grade going into 7th. And I said, well, anything. I'm willing to try, because nothing seemed to be working at home. I read to the children every night. The boys would read to her because they did read somewhat, not at their grade level, a little bit lower, but they would read to her. Being the baby in the family, they would take turns. Dad took turns. He took her to school programs because I was involved in other things with the boys. And she just didn't seem to strive and succeed. Her self-esteem wasn't good. She was shy about it. So when she got involved with the program at Scott, it was like, wow, I was a crossing guard. And she would come up after she was finished with her class, and she would sit down on the little, there was a little bit, not a bench, but a railroad tie right next to where I crossed the kids. And she would come over and she'd sit down. This was a couple, 3 weeks into the program. And she sat there and she would read it to me. And it was so exciting to see her joy as well as my joy of hearing her. And I said, this program's got it. I know about phonics. I know the old way of teaching reading, writing, arithmetic, the importance of sounding out words and stuff. It just didn't seem to work for her. This program was showing her a step in the right direction. Then I said, we need to get back to the basics, guys. You know, here we have all these higher standards that they're trying to set for our kids. You're going to have kids that are dropping out. You're going to have kids that are failing. You're going to have kids going to jail because they didn't get a decent start somewhere to get them out of the cracks they fall into later in school. So I said, you know, my daughter got sick 2 years ago, and she missed most of her 5th grade class time because of this illness. She was in the class but didn't participate with writing, but she would listen. If she had not had the reading recovery program, I feel, when she did at 1st grade level and passed it successfully, when she was at the point in 5th grade of not participating because of illness, she probably would have fallen behind even further. At the point she had reading recovery, she was able to catch up and go ahead
and this made her successful today. She went to the sixth grade this past year, and she started at the lowest level. They bumped her up, and I feel she had that because of a good start. And she's finished sixth grade, going on to seventh grade, even though with illness, she's able to succeed. And I think she will go on and do well as a graduate. They're very close to my heart.
Thank you. Did you have something you'd like to say?
Well, I appreciate you coming. Are you her daughter?
This is my daughter.
Well, thank you.
She's got a book to do.
So what book are you reading?
It's called The Secret of Sarah Revere.
Well, good for you. I think it says a lot about you that you're reading at such a high level at your age and the success of the program as well. So good for you. We appreciate you coming out today. Thank you very much. Tony Hess?
Hi, I'm going to be speaking about or referring to the statistics page from Scott Elementary School. I appreciate the opportunity to come and tell you about the Reading Recovery Program. I've been a teacher for over 25 years, and I've never seen a program that has such a profound effect on children. I had the privilege of being in the first training class of reading recovery teaching with Salem Kaiser School District. And I've been a reading recovery teacher at Todd Elementary School for 6 years. During those years, our program has served 65 children just in our building. That's an average of about 10 and a half kids per school year. Of the 65 children that we began with, 27 are still at our building. So many of the children have moved out of our building on. Of those 65, no children have been referred for special ed services. Now, thinking about how we start with the lowest of those first grade children, typically some of those children would have been referred for special ed. But Reading Recovery actually did come in, save those children, and they're now functioning at or above grade level. Of the 27 children still at Scott, 24 are reading at or above grade level. 11 of those children have been tested at benchmark one, and 6 have passed the benchmark. 4 of the children are consistently on the honor roll, maintaining a grade average of 2.5 and above. As I listen to the testimony here today, I hear people saying there are other reading programs. There are a lot of other reading programs. I think the statistics will show you that any reading program will fit 80% of your kids. I mean, it doesn't matter what you use. 80% of the kids are going to learn how to read. That still leaves the 20% at the bottom. And those are the children that this program targets, and those are the children that this program is the most successful with. So I just urge you to really consider this program and support this bill that was very exactly has introduced.
Any questions?
Yeah, but going to those statistics again, that was a couple of things you said about the reading above the grade level, but then you said there was only 6 that
passed the benchmark.
And why would they be reading above level but not pass the benchmark?
I think the benchmarks are very high and the standards are very tough. And I think you'll find that statewide. So you can, but what I hear teachers saying is the benchmarks are really geared for your B-plus and above child. But your average kid, so say you have a fourth grade child who's reading at fourth grade level, you know, they may or may not pass those benchmarks because they are very tough. You know, they can read fourth grade material, they do fourth grade classwork, but the benchmarks are written at a higher level.
How many of the 80% test benchmarks?
I don't know. I don't have an information. That would be a state statistic that I don't have access to.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Bernice Martin and Kyle Christensen.
If
you'd like to both come up at the same time.
I'm Bernice Thornton. I'm currently a reading recovery teacher at Auburn Elementary School here. In the afternoons and the mornings, I'm a special education teacher at Auburn Elementary School. And I'm starting my 29th year educating. And I've kind of been there, done that, from the regular classroom to special ed to reading recovery. And as that mom said, reading recovery is very close to my heart. I've had excellent college training, I feel, in terms of learning how to teach kids to read. I don't think that's happening in our colleges right now. And I could go on about why I think that's not happening. I've been a member of Western's advisory board in terms of special ed and those things. But years ago when I went to OCE, it was Oregon College of Education, and it specialized in teaching teachers to teach. And I came out of there with what I thought was an excellent grounding in how to teach kids reading in the classroom. And so as the years went on, I was always striving to find something that would work with everybody. And I want to tell you that reading recovery works with the majority of kids. It works with the kids that we've never been able to reach before. Even in our special ed classroom at Auburn, since I've been there, it's kind of like the ripple effect. The other teachers have seen what I've done with one-to-one, and then I've talked a lot and trained a lot of the teachers for using these things in groups. Some children do not learn in that small group. I wish I could say that that's the answer for everybody, but this is the program that reaches students who can't learn even in a small group. But anyway, even in our resource room, Learning Resource Center, the special ed room, since I've been there, the kids are making phenomenal progress using these kinds of strategies that Reading Recovery teaches you to use. So,
is it the reading recovery techniques that it makes for the success, or is it that one-on-one time that you're spending?
I think it's both. For one thing, what the one-on-one does that you can't do in a group is it allows you to make minute-by-minute decisions as to what you say to that specific child. And you cannot do that even in a group of 3 to 4. You, what you say to one child in a small group, if you have a group of 3 to 4 or whatever, what you might say to one child may not be pertinent to the other child. So then what's the other child doing during that time? Now, many children learn in small groups really well. And what we've done at Auburn is we have another model. It's called the Arkansas model. And it was developed in Arkansas, and it's the next level above reading recovery. And so what happens in the first grades in Arkansas is that those students, that bottom 20%, are put into very small, specific, intense reading groups. And they do the Arkansas model, which uses all of the components of reading recovery. And then the students that fall out of that small group, in other words, they don't make progress, they go on and they are your reading recovery students that need the one-to-one. And fortunately, this year at Auburn, we've been able to have an Arkansas model trained person. The reason I'm even at Auburn is that the classroom teachers 6 years ago all agreed to give up enough hours of classroom time and instructional assistant time to give the school another part of a teacher to allow for a reading recovery to come to their building. And I'd encourage any of you to come and talk to any of my teachers, even my fifth grade teachers, about the impact and the success that this program has on the whole school, really. And so it's the one-to-one, but it's also, I think, that Mari Clay, who developed this, she took a lot of time to really look at what is it that all good readers do. So it's not any one single thing that we have that we can teach them. It's a whole repertoire of things that we can call upon that we know everybody needs to know. And then we can say, well, wait a minute, he's not doing this thing. So how we can zero in on that kind of thing. So, does that answer your question, Senator? Okay. What I really came today to show you were some of the works for the students. So, and I'm going to use the overhead.
At the very beginning of the year, one of the tests we get students is not only do we test their reading level, but they can't read. there's no. They can't even read the word tomorrow, no. Okay? We also test their writing level, because reading and writing, the same strategies you need to use to learn new words to read, you will learn to use new words to write. So we want you to combine reading and writing. So in the fall, our target is for reading and writing. This is at the beginning of the year, one of my students, and I don't know what year this was, this is our fifth year at Auburn. But these were the, this is the text that he was trying to write. Okay, so you can see he wrote no, and he could write a few words, but he could tell me about them. He could write any sentences. So he wrote dog, cat, ski, ball, and car. Now you can see he does have some tricks there in that he does understand that there is a link between what he says and the beginning letters of words. Okay, and this was his work at the very end, after 20 weeks of lesson. This first test was in September, and this second one was right after Christmas. He wrote in the first grade classroom, and we're ready to just continue it with him. He wrote this on his own. As a first grader, it took some time. He used to see his role on the way to becoming a very good teacher. And matter of fact, he's currently going on the fourth grade, and he did have the writing and the reading benchmark for the one. This one I know is going to be, this one was a student this fall. And the sentence he was trying to write was, the school bus is coming, it will stop here if you let me get on. Okay. And I don't just say that, that's what this is. I don't know the word. What you want to do, let me know. But there were lots of things he didn't know me, but he didn't know, and he knew the beautiful bus. He's got rehearsals there. Yeah. If he talks a little bit about dyslexia. You know, the kids in the treasure that I know have specific learning disabilities. They make very good progress with this program. And here we have him in February. I can see the results that we are going to have a lot yet. And unfortunately, James is going to have a school next year. That's why we didn't have to do the budget after. There's another student. I wanted to specifically show you this student too, because this is a student who's not been given your first word for a second, but being a student who's coming this far. And this is his first try at that. When we were working on testing and looking at letters and sentences and words. He knew a lot about me, but then he had to handle what we did to look up the schedule, so it wasn't an attempt at a meeting. So you can see the confusion. We have a lot of confusion that needs to be ironed out. And then here's his worship in March in the classroom. I have a game with this motorcycle. I won. First place. Anyway, you can see that most partly he still has some things going on with him, which he does have a specific disability. But he's not going to be having some special ed, I don't believe, because he's on grade level, he's doing very well on all of his years. And what's going to happen is he's going to be here's another example of a student. He's now in the fourth year. That was the classroom teacher brought me this, the very first week of school. And she told him, if you don't know the letters to write, any words, you should go to memorize. One of the things that she had, or the words for the pilot page, so they could be writing something and looking like they were writing. And then, he ended up spending most of the year in reading recovery. This is his work at the very end. And he was reading above grade level, but you can see his writing is good, but still we're putting kids under a lot of pressure and expectations, and we want them to be the very best. And my gift is worse, and it was out of the hall this year, just in second grade, so he heard something even then. And I think that's one of the messages of reading recovery, is that they not only come out of reading recovery on grade level or above grade level, or even the kids that don't get a complete program, they're able to go back into that classroom and benefit them. They know how to learn in the large system. Okay, and the statistics true that time and again, back when you kids up in middle school and high school, they remain right up in there with the average or above kids in terms of basic stuff.
Thank you. Ms. Christensen? My name is Carol Christensen. I am a Title I basic skills teacher half-time for Salem Kaiser Public Schools. I also work as a reading recovery teacher leader program coordinator for Western Oregon University. I work through the Division of Extended and Summer Studies. So our program has to be self-supporting in order to maintain the program there. I wanted to talk today about my position as a teacher leader and in my work for Western Oregon University. I think everyone before me has talked really well and given you a good idea of what Freedom Recovery is and that it is an excellent program. And I believe the lady from Tillamook even agreed with us on that, that Freedom Recovery is an excellent program. I've visited many districts throughout Oregon, Madras Central in Independence and Monmouth, Oregon Trail District in the Estacada area, Albany, Corvallis, Yanhill, Carlton, I've come to Lincoln County, talked with those people. They had the program. McMinnville had the program. Newburgh had the program. LeGrand had the program. All of these school districts eventually dropped the program, not because it was not a successful program, but because of the cost factor. In my conversations with these school districts, they typically end in the same manner. They believe in the program. They love it. They would love to offer it to the students. They would love to train their teachers in this program, but they do not have the funding necessary. Reading Recovery requires the school district to have a half-time, 1.5 FTE teacher working with one-to-one with four students for the first part of the year, and then their second round, another four students. With the cost of schools as they are today and the Title I funding as it is, they can use their Title I funds. They can write for grants, but grants are only for 1 year kind of thing. So, you know, they can do those things, but they do it by dropping other programs. And if a school has large class size and they have teachers who are upset with large class size, teachers who want aid, teachers who want other programs, then Reading Recovery is an add-on expenditure, and they cannot do it. They cannot provide the funding. So the issue for the school districts is not whether they believe Reading Recovery to be an excellent program, because they do, but it's the cost issue of funding that position. I didn't tell you about my background. I got sidetracked there. I've been a classroom teacher in kindergarten through first grade for approximately 26 years. I've been a reading recovery teacher for 7 years and a teacher leader for 4 years. I received my training as a teacher leader at St. Mary's College in California. The Bay Area is the closest training center for teacher leaders right now. As a classroom teacher, a lot of these 12 first graders that I worked with, I would struggle, as the gentleman mentioned, there are always those few children that you just could not reach, and I was so frustrated. I tried and tried to come up with ways that I could teach them to read, and I went to OCE, felt that I had excellent training as a teacher in reading, too, but I just couldn't bring it together for them, and I would have to pass them on, because we don't have a retention policy, and those children would not have benefited from being retained anyway. So we passed them on year after year, watched them go on. They weren't low enough to go to special ed.
Some of them weren't low enough for Title I even, but they still struggled to learn to read. And I like to leave you with an analogy of what reading recovery did for me as a teacher. These children, I like to think of them as bringing to me a treasure chest, a rare and old treasure chest that has a difficult lock. That would be unlocking reading for them. And I'm the locksmith, and I have to find the key that unlocks that treasure chest for them. And what reading recovery did was give me the training to find the key to unlock that treasure chest. But I wasn't the one that unlocked it. I was able to place the key in the child's hand because of my training. I was able to give that child the key that unlocked that treasure within them so that they could learn to read. Thank you for letting me come.
Any questions? Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the new program on my in my site, so it's been very informative. And Representative Batson, I appreciate you bringing it forward.
Thank you very much, Chairman. I think we'd all agree, we have heard a lot of testimony going back to January, and the testimony on this program today has been really, really outstanding, and I think all of us are going to leave the room today with a much, much better knowledge and idea, and I really thank you for coming, and I think it was very, very good.
Thank you very much. With that, we are adjourned.